Time now to talk not Guns N' Roses or headbanging rock and roll, but A-League soccer, and no one better to speak that with than JP Howcroft. G'day, JP.
Good afternoon, Rowan, and a happy birthday. It was your birthday today, so you're having a good day.
Thank you very much. Where do you stand on Guns N' Roses, just quickly?
Oh, I love them.
Do you?
Yeah, awesome. I'm not sure I'd like, you know, the kid that was in Melbourne where they were an hour late and whatnot. You kind of almost expect that, don't you?
I'd
hate to go and see them, but yeah, love the crowd pleasers.
No, that's rock and roll, mate. That's, you know, you're a super duper group when you can roll up an hour late on stage and no one bats an eyelid. It's just what's expected of you. Speaking of which, what was expected of Sydney FC was probably the sort of performance they turned on against Melbourne Victory. Of course, top of the table clash, but they came away with a 1-0 win and the points, and you'd think now probably unbackable favouritism for this year's title.
Absolutely right. The Premiership plate is theirs. There's 15 points left to play for, and they've got an 11-point lead. So you can put a bow on that and hand it over. The grand final is still yet to be decided, and because of the Australian system, they can't call themselves the best team in Australia just yet. But the likely grand final is against Melbourne Victory, and they've beaten them three times in the last 18 weeks, all by just a single goal. And what we saw on Friday night, I think, was really just one game that summed up the entire season. The next best to Sydney FC had plenty of chances. They were in the game pretty much all the way, but Sydney FC did just enough to get over the line and show why they're the best team. They kept an 11th clean sheet. Danny Vukovic was outstanding in goal and just clinical on the few transitional opportunities that they got at the other end. Just the best team in Australia this season so far.
And it's been a very emphatic bounce back from that first defeat against the Wanderers, hasn't it? Well, it was 3-1, I think, against City last week, 1-0 against Victory. So anyone thinking that first defeat might spark a bit of a chain reaction was sorely misguided, weren't they?
Yeah, absolutely right. One thing that Graham Arnold has been fortunate with this season is having an obvious and settled first 11. He's had to make a couple of changes to his back four with Matt Yeoman leaving to Asia and Sebrael getting injured very early in the season. But broadly, the first 11 picks itself. So they've not had to worry about injuries or suspension. So when there's a bit of a speed hump like they had against the Wanderers, you're not looking for multiple causes. It's not as if there's a centre-forward that's going through a goal drought or a goalkeeper that's got the yips. They're just a well-oiled machine. And it was really just about kicking it back into motion. And what we saw against Melbourne Victory was how they operate strong defensively. The midfield screen of Brandon O'Neill and Josh Brillante are the real workhorse. And we've seen over the development of the A-League in the last 3 or 4 years that the best teams have a partnership just in front of the defence that really gets the team going. We saw it with Melbourne Victory a couple of years ago with Mark Milligan and Carl Valeri. See, Victory probably still haven't replaced Mark Milligan, in fairness. And last season, the Wanderers had Dimas and Andreu who set that tone. And this year, it's Brillante and O'Neill. So everything strategically has gone right for Sydney FC.
Do you think, just looking at the two teams, and they're clearly the standouts, Sydney FC 11 points clear on top, Victory 10 points clear of third. It's remarkable looking at that table. You don't know how that happens. But I would have thought perhaps the biggest single difference between those two teams at the top. Victory, it always appears to be about Rojas, Berisha and Troisi. Sydney FC appear to have a more even spread of talent. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. I think that's a really fair assessment. And if you look at how Friday night played out, the game, both teams lined up with almost identical formations and identical strategies. And the game seemed to come down to the four duels between each team's winger and the opposition team's fullback. You think of the good opportunities that Melbourne Victory had, particularly in the first half, the two best fell to Jai Ingham. And if you went around the 22 players on the pitch, he'd be in that bottom end of talent, really. And you compare it to Sydney FC, where they've got Philip Holosko, Alex Brosk in those positions. They can bring David Carney off the bench or Bernie Beanie off the bench. I'd have fancied all of those to have taken one of those two chances that Jai Ingham was given in that first half. Second half, when Sydney FC get that opportunity, the way Bobo timed his run to beat Jason Guerrier, the Melbourne Victory right back, just gave him an acres of space so that he could tap in pretty much unopposed at the far post. So I think you're right that that spread on those less obvious positions, the fullbacks and the wingers, I think has really been part of Sydney FC's strength.
Now, you mentioned the finals coming up. I'm interested in your thoughts on this, given your cultural background. I mean, it's a very rare soccer competition that actually has finals. Now, given that Sydney FC are 11 points clear, and if we had the old, you know, Premier League system working, it'd be done and dusted. We'd be giving them the trophy now. Do you feel, you know, were they to lose now in the finals, would you feel that that's not really fair?
Yes, I would. In my gut, I would say it's not fair. But everybody knows that this is a competition at the start of the season. There's only 10 teams. So if you did have a first-past-the-post system with only 10 teams in it, it could be a very short and boring season. So
yeah.
It is the Australian tradition to have a final system. So I'm not. I know there are a lot of people that are very anti it in football, but I'm not one of those. I do acknowledge where the game is at and that it needs it. I think I would hope that there's a long-term plan to move away from it if eventually the A-League can expand to 16, 18, 20 clubs. But we're talking decades to get to that point. So for now, everybody starts the season knowing that this is the case and they go into it with their eyes open. And also, every grand final has been 1v2, won by one of the teams playing that finished the table in first or second. So we've not seen great travesties of justice so far, but like you say, with Sydney so far clear at the top of the ladder in the regular season, if they didn't win the grand final, you'd need a bit of an asterisk, I think, the eventual winner.
Well, that's what I used to agree with you, and I changed my mind after 2001, where for a third year in a row, Essendon finished on top of the ladder and ended up getting one flag out of it. So it's remarkable how much personal circumstances can influence opinion on this one. Very quickly, ripping game between Wellington and Perth, 3-3 draw for the Phoenix, and that home ground advantage must be worth a heap to them.
Yeah, you'd think so, and definitely against certain teams. Melbourne City, bizarrely, they've only won 3 away games all season, but 2 of them have been away to Wellington. But probably as good a game as we've seen in the A-League this season for the quality of goals. 6 very, very good goals in that match. Perth Glory, the floaters in this postseason of the A-League, because they could finish as high as 3rd, which you'd think would give them a good chance of making a preliminary final. And in Diego Castro, Andy Keogh and Adam Taggart, they've probably got the most potent forward line in the game on form. Diego Castro is in outstanding form at the moment, and sometimes he can be unplayable. So I think what we saw in that game was that if they are all on song and they can figure out defensively what they're doing, they could pose a threat to both Melbourne Victory and Sydney FC in those one-off finals games.
Great work, Jonathan, and not the last we'll hear of you today. You and Francis Leach will be calling tonight's Central Coast v Melbourne City clash from 5 p.m. You can hear that live on Aussie Digital. Look forward to it, mate.
Thank you very much, Ryan.